Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning. Good morning to welcome to everyone who's here. Welcome to all those listening on tour anytime. We are beginning a new series today. We are learning the Sefer Zera Kodesh from Rav Naftali of Rabshitz. Rav Naftali of Rabshitz was a Talmud of the Chose of Lublin and of Rav Menachem Mendel of Rimanov, but primarily the Chose of Lublin, who was the primary Talmud of the Naim HaMelech, Rabbi HaMelech of Lizhensk, who was a Talmud of the Maggid of Mezrich, who was a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. So the Rabshitzer is one of the early Rebbes, and he was known as one of the Chachamim, the great Chachamim of his generation. And many came to learn Torah from him. Many of the followers of the previous Tzaddikim, when they passed away, they all came to learn under Rav Naftali of Rabshitz, although his most famous Talmud is probably the Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Halberstam of Tzanz, but he had thousands and thousands of students. And he has his Pirush al HaTorah, he has a few Svarim, but one is called Zera Kodesh, which he himself actually did not want published and instructed that it should not be published. But, as is the way of the students of a great tzaddik, that they usually don't listen to the tzaddik when he says, don't learn my Torah, and so they published it anyway, and the Divrei Chaim actually found support for this, that Reb Chaim Vital insisted that his writings should not be published, and they were published anyway, and so he felt like his Rebbe, although the Divrei Chaim held the Rabshitzer in such high esteem that he would be afraid to call him his rebbe. And so he insists that we're going to publish it. And Baruch Hashem, we have the Sefer Zera Kodesh. We could spend all day talking about the Heilige Rabshitzer Zeda, but we're going to begin learning, and maybe over the year we'll bring up as it comes up some different ideas. So one of the ideas which is common in the Hasidic Sfarim and other Sfarim as well, but more so in the Hasidic Sfarim, is this desire to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. And many of these Sfarim will end Parshas Vezos Abracha with many, many explanations for why, how to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah, and then they'll start Sefer Bereishis also with explanations how to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. And there's many reasons for it, but we're going to go straight into the Torah itself. Od Yesh Lomar, another explanation for how to connect the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. She Yisrael, the last word in the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, is the word Yisrael, the Jewish people, Ein Kol Yisrael. But the word Yisrael, Osios, is the letters of Yashar, Yud Shin Resh, and Kel, Hashem's name. What does that mean about us, that we are called Yisrael, which forms the two words Yashar Kel? So in order to understand this, he's going to give us an explanation of the entire Parsha. And then when you understand the entire parasha, all the parts of it, then you'll understand why we, the Jewish people, are called Yisrael. Al derech shepirashti, but I want to start with explaining a different pasuk. It says, and we say this in the beginning of the Chumash, but kivo shavas kel mikol malachto. We say kiboy on Shabbos, shavas kel, Hashem rested, mikol malachto, from all of his work that he did. Suddenly we have the pasuk uses kivo shavas kel, the name Aleph Lamed. How does that name appear in relation to Shabbos? So he explains like this. This is going to be the primary vort. Rak yesh ki yesh anhaga bahateva. The world runs according to nature, and people behave according to nature. Both of those are one option. V'yesh hanhaga shelemala min hateva. And then there's a system by which the world runs above the world of nature. And there's also human beings who live a life that's above the world of nature. V'chein haya ratzon elukenu yizbarach, and it was the will of Hashem, livro bebeis hanhagas, to create the world with these two options. There's a natural world in which you can live a natural life, and there's a supernatural world in which you can live a supernatural life. V'sheha adam yizgaber al hanhagas ha-tefa, and your job is to overcome all your natural tendencies. V'yinaheg es atzmo, and run yourself and your life, v'anhaga shalamala mi'ateva, living above the realm of nature. And what this means on a simple level is that you have tendencies, you have things that you naturally want to do. And then there's things that are unnatural. Let's use an easy example. It's very easy. So eating versus fasting.
Cleaning the house, that's
unnatural. Right. But what would be the supernatural equivalent of that? Right. So that would be, well, maybe we'll offer. We'll say okay. But let's go with eating and fasting first. In eating, doing mitzvahs that involve eating are natural. Meaning, you do it, you enjoy it, and it's easy. And even though, as we say, it's easier to fast on Yom Kippur l'shem shemayim than it is to eat on Shabbos l'shem shemayim, but nevertheless, we can turn eating on Shabbos into a mitzvah, and it feels natural and enjoyable, but fasting is unnatural. That feels painful. That disturbs us, that bothers us. To serve Hashem from within that is calling on you and pushing you to do something harder. Right? So let's go with cleaning for Pesach. That's a great example. So you have people who just clean, but then there's people who are ad chumras and they're going beyond what would be the natural way. So that would be living above nature. But that's more in sort of these practical examples. But more so in general, all of our midos. Every time that we live based on what we're naturally capable of doing, what comes easy to us. So that's living with nature and living within nature. But when we look within ourselves to go beyond what we're naturally able to do, beyond what we're built, so to speak, to do, and we push ourselves to live a higher level of living, that's what he's saying is lamala mi'ateva. So he says, "Ulezeh bara Hashem yizbarach etz hadas." That's why Hashem created this tree of knowledge. So he says, "Shebe'emes." Let's ask the questions. He just goes straight into the answer. But what was the point of the tree if you're not supposed to eat from it? Okay, so there's a test not to eat from it. So then, but why is the tree there? What is it? What is its function? And why does it accomplish what it accomplishes when Adam eats? So the answer is, Shebe'emes ayidei achila mioso eitz, yada tovara. Because man is supposed to know good and evil. Meaning he's supposed to recognize and deal with good and evil. And the tree is there so that he would know good and evil. Ach Hashem yizbarach amar la Adam arishon. Hashem says to Adam arishon, Shelo yochal mimenu, don't eat from the tree. Why? Because you eat from the tree, what's going to be the point? Eating from the tree means that you will go into nature and let the natural world help you figure out the difference between right and wrong. In other words, to go eating from the tree is to follow only my natural tendencies, what I feel is right and what I feel is wrong and what I think I should be doing and what I think the mitzvahs I should be keeping. And these are the times that I think I should be doing these things. Hashem says to him, don't do that. That's the eating of the tree. The eating of the tree is where the knowledge of good and evil comes from me, from, so to speak, nature. What you should do is serve Hashem, to keep the Torah and do the mitzvahs. And then you will through that process come to know and good and bad, good and evil. Meaning he's learning that if Adam Rishon does not eat from the tree, but instead makes the decision that he's going to follow the instructions that Hashem gives him, he would have continued in his life and absorbed all the knowledge of good and evil that he gained from the eating of the tree, but from the perspective of being within the service of Hashem, of being in a supernatural state. So he would have been in the supernatural state and then have come to the knowledge of good and evil, rather than to enter it, so to speak, from the bottom and to walk straight into good and evil and therefore create chaos and confusion of good and evil. Once again, so to simplify the point, what he's suggesting is that there's two ways of living life, natural and supernatural. And Adam Rishon, had he not eaten from the tree, would have been able to gain all that knowledge in supernatural ways. But because he eats from the tree, he reduces everything to its natural state. And we are just people run mostly by our nature.
Like somebody might have a natural instinct for chesed. He feels sorry for somebody. Doesn't even have to be Jewish to do that, obviously. Or somebody could do kindness to the other based on the Torah, that he wants to, he feels that Hashem made him and wants him to be a kind person. So he does it.
Yeah, I think it's a good example of that. I mean, I don't want to limit it to just that. You know, where a person's generous naturally versus a person who's giving when it's not so natural or giving beyond their natural limitations. That's all true. We don't want to limit it to that example because every single person within them has the option of living life according to their nature or rising above their nature. Every person within their individual, you know, issues, so to speak.
I don't know if this fits into this, but there's like drinking and like say doing drugs, and it can elevate you to like a place where you kind of like feel more connection to Hashem, perhaps. But then you're missing out on the opportunity of doing it on the supernatural way, which is the way of like davening and other avodah.
Yeah, I think it's just it's another example of where a person can try to find a higher level of living. I mean, whatever the examples are, that's where he's going to. V'zeh she'amar Hashem yizbarach achakach, and that's why Hashem says, after Adam and Chava eat from the tree, v'ata ana pen yishlach yado, lest he reach out his hand, v'lakach gam yeitz achayim, and eat also of the tree of life. She'yichya le'olam, and then he will live forever. So he says, "Shenivra shal derech hateva yavo meyachilas etzachayim sheyichya leolam." The way it's supposed to be is that the tree of life naturally makes you immortal, makes you live forever. Achem yikach gam yisham. But once Adam has reduced himself from the choice of instead of being a supernatural being, he wants to live life according to nature. So then, if he eats from the tree and lives forever, he will live forever in this lowly, natural state. Because his mind is only able to go to natural places because he's eaten from the tree. So if he stays in the garden and eats from the Eitz HaChaim, Adam will never reach this level of being in the supernatural, which is where we're all, as individuals, and certainly Adam and Rishon, are supposed to try to enter into. She'yicha la'olam b'lamala mi'ateva, she'yosim amal Hashem wants us to live forever in our elevated state, in a supernatural state. That's why Hashem stops them from eating of the tree of life, so that they can merit eternal life, because the Torah and the mitzvahs, they shape you and move you to go from being a person who lives a natural life. And this is what you'll see. Sometimes people who are not Torah observant, they'll say, well, what do you mean? That's a good person. I'm being a good person. That's a very common argument. What do they mean by that? What they mean is, I'm living life, I'm not hurting anyone. Like, who am I bothering? What's the problem? And so therefore, that should be a successful life. That's really what they're arguing, is that, I'm living, I'm happy, I have a job, I pay my bills. So the answer is, if that's all you want, that's a little bit missing from the purpose of the creation of humanity. Just to be a good person means that I'm just going to come into this world, live life, and then end life. And there is no there's no transcending of the natural state, and that's what he's saying. We have to the eating of the Eitz HaChaim would have meant that all of humanity would have to live life like that. And therefore Hashem has to remove Adam and Chava from the garden, send them into a place where they can work on themselves. So that's what all of us have to do, because that's all of us. We're Adam and Chava, so we have to work on ourselves to not just live naturally and do everything, you know, just to get through things, but rather to try to ascend to a higher level. So v'zeh inyan osios malacha. You look at the word malacha. The word malach is spelled mem lamed aleph chaf hey. And in there you'll see the name kale, aleph lamed, in the word malacha, tziruf, and then the other letters are chaf mem hey. Kale and chaf mem hey. I should just stop here and point out the Rav Shitzer was, as we mentioned, brilliant, brilliant beyond brilliant. It's hard to even begin to talk about it. But he uses a lot of gematrias in his Sefer as a result of that. And people, they say about the Shinever Rav that he used to enjoy doing the mathematics of the Rav Shitzer's gematrias, because some of them are just so incredible that the process of counting it was almost its own surprise. Oh, look, they really do match. Anyway, but this is not quite one of those. But the word malacha is made up of the name Kel and the word Kama, Chaf Mem Hei. Now, Chaf Mem Hei is the numerical value of 65. Which is the name of Adoshem. Which means the word Malacha is really made up of two word names of Hashem. Kael, written openly, the Aleph Lamed is there. And the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adoshem, which is in Gematria, so to speak, hidden. Mora alan hagas ateva shehashem yizbarachu adon ateva. Because the word Malacha, work, which is what Hashem used to create the world, the word Malacha is made up of the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud concealed. That's nature. And then Kael, as we'll see, above nature. V'shem Kael Sheba Malacha, Mor Alan Haga Shalamala Miyateva. That's the name that represents that running Hashem running the world above nature. So he says, V'hine Bechol, during the week, Misnaik Tzasa Piteva Gamkein, during the week we're supposed to mix the natural and the supernatural. That's why during the week we do malacha. The name Kael, representing the supernatural, and the Chaf Mem Hei, representing the name Ad Hashem, which is the natural, so to speak, Hashem hidden within the world. That's why that numerical value is not openly written. Yes?
I'm having a little trouble fitting the idea of contrasting the idea of Adoshem, which is what we say for Yudke Vovke, which is actually the personal God, which seems to me, maybe not, but it, as opposed to Elohim, which is the natural, which has Kael in it, it seems to be reversed.
I'm not sure what you mean. The name Adoshem, the name Yudke Vovke, is the name of above nature. But we can't fathom that. And so we pronounce Hashem's name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which means my master, literally, or the one who's in charge of us, which is nature.
Referring to above nature.
Now that's the Yud Kei Vavke. The Aleph Dalet Nun Yud refers to Hashem's mastership over us, which is the running of the world, which is the nature. In the same way that Shema Yisrael is above nature and Baruch Shem is Kvod Malchuso, so in the same way that would be the Yud Kei versus the name Ad Hashem. From the Kabbalistic perspective, right, the pronouncement of Hashem's name is down within the sphere of Malchus. Right, which is the realm that we're living in. That's how we pronounce it. But Yud Kei Vavke is higher up. So we may have to adjust the way we think of things otherwise. But yes, Elohim is related to Gevura, and Elohim is also the numerical value of Hateva. Right, but the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud represents Hashem running the world. Right, and so that would be considered nature, but it's hidden. Because Hashem's name is, so to speak, hidden within nature. Maybe we'll have to clarify that a bit. He says, "V'zet tziruf osius malacha," but that's why the word for Hashem's creating during the week is called malacha. Aval b'Shabbos k'siv. That's why it says by Shabbos kivoy shavas kel mikol malachto. Hashem rested from all his work, but specifically the name kel. Shan haga yirak b'shem kel shalamalim yateva. Because on Shabbos the chaf, the mem, and the hay, the name Adoshem, so to speak, is not applicable on Shabbos, but only the name Kael, and that's why we can't do Malacha on Shabbos, because we can't connect to the realm of nature on Shabbos. So we live on Shabbos above the realm of nature. Again, let me clarify this, because it's an amazing vort. The word Malacha is what Hashem created the world with. The Aleph and the Lamed of the word Malacha is Hashem continuing to run the world above nature. The Chaf, the Mem, and the Hey represent Hashem running the world within nature. On Shabbos, it's Kivo, Shavas, Kel, Mikol, Malachto. It's only the Kel from all the Malacha. It's only the Kel, the supernatural. That's why on Shabbos, we're expected to live a supernatural way of living. So we don't do natural works. We don't do creative works on Shabbos, because we're connecting to the Kel. That was Shabbos Mikol Malachta. She says, "V'zeh Osias." That's why we're called Yisrael, which is Yashar Kel. Liyasher Koach Alahagber Koach Shem Kel. Yisrael means that it is our job to live above nature. The rest of the world, Hashem created nature for them and said, "If it's natural, if it tastes good, eat it." But for us, even if it tastes good, I want you to overpower yourself and only eat if it's kosher shechita, and then to eat with a bracha, and then to eat with limitations, and then to spend more time benching than you do eating. These are living in a supernatural way. That's what's expected of us, says the Rav Shitzer. That's why we are called Yisrael. V'zehu avodas kal ish miYisrael. This is the work, this is the job of every Jew. Don't just live according to your natural tendencies, but rise above your own nature and live above nature. And he says, if Hashem only wanted people to live according to nature, then Hashem could have just made animals and fish. Because they follow perfectly their nature. They don't lie, they don't cheat, they don't steal. Fish behave perfectly. So if Hashem wanted just beings to run according to their nature, plenty of fish in the sea, plenty of birds in the sky, plenty of ants in their ant holes. So why did Hashem create humanity? It's because Hashem wants you to live above nature. V'zeh shekas of Yisrael, osios yashar, meaning to strengthen, kel. And what's the next word after Yisrael? Bereshis. Shelazah nivra olmos. That's the connection of the end of the Torah to the beginning of the Torah. You should know the only reason Hashem created the world, Bereshis, is because of Yisrael, but specifically Yashar Kel, because Hashem is going to create the week, and then Hashem is going to make Shabbos to teach you that there is a nature, and there is above nature, and within you. That's his word, right? That's the main point here. Within you, there is a nature and there is above nature, and your job is Yisrael, to be above nature. That's why Bereshis. V'yesh lomar, so you could say, shezeh haya gamken cheit Kayin. That's the sin of Kayin. As I said, he's going to explain the whole parsha, and probably if we gave him enough paper, he could explain the whole Torah according to this, right? But he says that was the sin of Kayin. Shehevi mipriha adama mincha l'Hashem, he brings of the fruits of the earth an offering to Hashem. So what he's going to learn is the emphasis of the Torah on saying mipriha adama, which the Torah could have said the fruits of his labor, but the Torah emphasizes the lowliness of the product that he presented. He suggests that that's Kayin saying, I'm going to offer my natural self. Hashem, you made me like this, so I'm going to be the way that I was made, the best kind of way. But I'm not going to push myself. So if his natural tendency was to bring a few, as Chazal tell us, he brought flaxseed, of all the things, basically the thing he didn't want. So He brought a korban. Why are we holding it against him? The answer is because he only brought the korban based on what he naturally could allow himself to do. And that's what many of us do. We'll offer ourselves, okay, you know, they're looking for volunteers for the soup kitchen. Let's use a very generic example. They need volunteers for the soup kitchen. So I tell myself, you know what, I could do an hour. That's good. That's a kayan offering. That's what he's saying. That's kayan. A person says to himself, I can do an hour, and then signs up for four. That's pushing ourselves. That's transcending nature. And make up your own example. We're all supposed to be doing things above nature. And that's why there's an emphasis on Hevel's carbon. As it says, Hevel, Hevi Gamhu, Hevel, he too brought, Mi Bechoros Tsono, right? Michal Behen, from the Bechor of his sheep. It means, Mi Bechinas Reishis Shalahem, the first, the foremost, Michal Behem, and of their fats, Hatova Nivchara Elyova Reishis, he pushed himself to do the best. And that's why sometimes you'll see that a person will you know, spend a little more on a mitzvah, and I don't mean just spend a little more money, but maybe spend a little more effort making things look nice, you know, setting the Shabbos table. The food tastes the same however you set it, the table. There's probably some subliminal effect somewhere, but not recognizable. So why are you setting the table so nice? It's because it's not only about how the food tastes. We want to make the experience into a more beautiful experience. So that's called bringing b'choros tzono, mechel behem. That's bringing the best.
The Shabbos, the spices in it.
What? The Shabbos flavor. Yeah. And that's above nature. U'be'emizbar Hashem yizbarach based on hagos anal. So he's saying Hashem offers both options. There is there's nature and there's above nature. So he says, this is how you should read the first passing in the Torah. V'zeh shenemar, Bereishis bara Elokim es Hashemayim. Bereishis means when you serve Hashem foremost and with all of yourself, that's bara Elokim es Hashemayim, that's serving Hashem above the realm of nature, that's serving Hashem from a heavenly angle. Moral anhaga shalamala mi'atava, that's serving Hashem above nature. V'esa aretz, but then Hashem also created the earth. Hanagas Ateva, that's the running of nature. So now he's extending it and saying, Yisrael is the last word of the Torah, which is really the word before the first word of the Torah, which is Bereishis. So he's saying Yisrael, which means that Yashar Kel, you have to give strength and elevate yourself to the realm above nature, which is Kel. Because Bereishis, Bar Elokim Es Hashamayim. Now there's also Ve'esa Aretz, but you don't want to be that Ve'esa Aretz. There's Anharetz, Anhagas Ateva, that's nature. Ve'odam Tzarech Lahagbir, Anhagas Shalamala Mi'Ateva, you have to live above that. K'moshe Merumas, B'Yisrael, Yashar Kel, and that's why we are called Yisrael. So once again, he's explaining the story of Adam and Chava, a very interesting way, right? It's different than the way it's usually explained, that what they did was not so destructive to nature, which is how we usually think of it, but rather they were embedding themselves in nature, which is where most of humanity is. Most of humanity is in their natural self. They naturally hate, so they hate. They naturally like, so they like. They naturally want, so they want. That's how most of the world functions. And it's very hard for people sometimes, you know, to come to the service of Hashem because I want this and I want that. And what we're being told is you are put into this world not to go along with your nature. That is an option. And you could be, so according to other Mauritian's calculations, a good person this way. But Yisrael is Yashar Kel, Kiboshavas Kel Mikol Malachto. You have to live a life that Shabbos reminds us of, which is a life that doesn't require us to be embedded in nature. Probably a great example of this is there are human beings in this world who never ever turn off their phones. Never ever. They're always living within that nature. But when a yid doesn't have a choice on Shabbos, you got to put it down. So for 25 hours and 12 minutes, you have no choice but to live above the way the majority of humanity lives. And that's just a tiny little example of where the Torah pushes us to live a much higher level of purpose of existence. And that's how the Torah begins, and that's the connection of the end of the Torah to the beginning. Okay, let's do one more Shtickel Torah, if I may. Okay. V'noyach matzah chen b'enei Hashem. Towards the end of the parasha, if you're looking for it. Noach matzah chen b'enei Hashem. It's actually the last pasuk, yeah. Okay, so before I begin, let me just say, he's going to skip 100 steps here. And just assume you're familiar with all 100 steps. We're not going to go through the 100 steps, so we're going to take a bridge and skip the 100 steps too. So here's the bridge. Basically, the Zohar understands Noach and the whole story of Noach as really being the story of Shabbos. Now, you may ask, what does Noach have to do with Shabbos? That's the 100 steps we're skipping. Mm-hmm. Right? But let's just go straight there. But Noach matzachem b'enei Hashem, which the Zohar understands as referring to the concept, Noach is b'chinas Shabbos. Now, so he's going to talk about Shabbos, even though he's explaining a pasuk about Noach. But he's going to answer a question that all of you have probably had. Let me say the question, even though he's going to get into it soon. Shabbos is what we call kvi'i v'kaimi. It means you do nothing to bring Shabbos. Shabbos comes on its own, unlike Yom Tov. Right? Yom Tov, the Jewish people have to declare Yom Tov, and if we don't declare Yom Tov, Yom Tov can't come. Right? But Shabbos is automatic. This is the reason why we say, make the bracha on Yom Tov. We say, Mikadish Yisrael v'hazmanim, because first Hashem sanctified the Jewish people, and then the Jewish people use their own Kedusha, and they sanctify the Yom Tov. But when Shabbos falls on Yom Tov, we don't say Mikadish Yisrael Shabbos Vazmanim. We say Mikadish HaShabbos, and then V'Yisrael, and then Vazmanim. Why? Because we're not Mikadish Shabbos. Hashem is Mikadish Shabbos. It's a basic understanding of how things work. Then how is it that we spend so much time in preparing for Shabbos? Furthermore, we know that Friday night, we refer to Friday night in the feminine as the Shabbos queen. And Shabbos morning as the Shabbos king. Now, the queen represents femininity, which is receiving. But if Shabbos comes on its own, so how is Shabbos the queen that's receiving? Right? Receiving means from something else. So what is this idea that Friday night is feminine and Shabbos day is masculine? What does all this mean? How does it all fit together? So he's going to explain all of that within the pasuk v'noyach matzachem be'enei Hashem. Okay. Dehine. There are many permutations of the name Yudkei Vavkei. One permutation is such, Shem Havaya b'ribua b'hipuch osios. I'm not going to explain the background behind how this works. That's a much longer discussion. But just bear with me here. There's a name of Hashem. That's the Hashem's name spelled backwards, but in ascending order. Meaning, take Hashem's name backwards, Hey Vav, Hey Yud. So it's Hey, Hey Vav, Hey Vav, Hey, and then Hey Vav, Hey Yud. Right? It each time gets bigger. If you add them all up together, so hey and hey vav is 5 plus 11 is 16, plus hey vav hey is plus 17, so, I'm sorry, plus another 16 is 32, and then hey vav hey yud, 32 plus 26 is 58, which is Noach, or chen. Because whenever you see the name of Hashem, hey, hey vav, hey vav hey, hey vav hey yud, that means it's backwards and growing. That represents when we ourselves start from the bottom and build up the Kedusha step by step until we've built the whole thing. So because it's coming from below, it's Hashem's name backwards. So first the hey of Hashem's name, and then we work our way up to the hey and the vav, and then the hey, vav, and the hey, and then the hey, the vav, the hey, and the yud, again backwards, because it's all coming from us. So whenever we're doing everything, that name is, so to speak, is invoked. And Shemascha mihei achronim shem avayu, because you start at the hey. Then you ascend ad od lamala lebchin al yona, higher and higher and higher. So here he explains. Zeha inyan yisarusa delasata. This represents the concept of us initiating the holiness from below. She'olin al yidei zeh lebchinos al yona ma'od, which we know when you get to places on your own, you reach a much higher level than if Hashem brings you there. As we know, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim, they were immediately brought to the highest level of holiness. But that can't be sustained. That had to be taken away from them. And even then we say that perhaps all the trouble that the Jewish people have is because we were, the process was too quick. We have to start from the bottom. So he says, Zehu a'inim b'Shabbos Kodesh, and this is what happens on Shabbos. Shalel Shabbos Kodesh, let me explain outside and then I'll explain inside. Basically what he's going to say is like this. All the worlds are elevated on Shabbos. But just like you prepare to receive the holiness of Shabbos, which comes on its own, but you have to prepare. In the same way, Shabbos the day receives the holiness. So what he's going to explain is that Shabbos is constantly, it doesn't all come at once. Shabbos brings into holiness, but then gets holier and higher and more lofty as Shabbos goes along. So the beginning, Friday night, receives the holiness, and then when it manifests, that becomes Shabbos day. So Friday night, there is this flowing down of all the holiness that's happening all of Friday night. And then on Shabbos day, it reaches a certain place. He says, "Ki shalel Shabbos Kodesh u'bechinas isarusa delasata." The Friday night, the night of Shabbos Kodesh, that's the initiation from below, lekabel hakadusha alyona yoseh, to receive this very high level of holiness. Ki chvod yom adif mechvod laila. As we know, the honor of the day is greater than the honor of the night. If someone has a good food, and they have an option to keep it for Friday night or for Shabbos day, so you have to serve it on Shabbos day should be the better food. Why? Because that's the greater level of Shabbos. V'zeh shekorin, so he says an interesting thing. Anyone ever been invited to a Friday night meal? What's a Friday night meal? Friday night? Why would we call Shabbos Friday night? And there's probably some people who don't call it Friday night because they think that that's a degrading of Shabbos. So he says, "V'zeh shekorin alel shaknisa Shabbos leil shishi." We call it Freitag tznacht, Freitag tznacht, Freitag banacht. We call it Friday night in Yiddish and in English. Ubamis mi'aroyelius nekrosa leil Shabbos, Shabbos tznacht. You should call it Shabbos night. We don't. We call it Friday night. Why do we call it Friday night? V'lama nekras leil shishi. Haklirmo zalzeh, to tell you. Because you can't have Shabbos without Friday. And you should know that all of Friday, you're also bringing down Shabbos. It just doesn't reach the level where it's actually Shabbos until, you know, Shabbos kicks in. But it's all starts on Friday, and Friday is already the bringing in of Shabbos into the weekday, even though Shabbos hasn't kicked in. That's all part of what you're initiating from below. And so Friday afternoon after Chatzos, it's not Shabbos, but it's also not quite Chol. It's not quite weekday. Right? And there's some people who will avoid saying good Shabbos to people during that time, meaning have a good Shabbos, because they're afraid that they may accept Shabbos by saying that. That means that this day, the Friday afternoon, has a certain level of Kedusha to it. It's not Shabbos Kodesh, right? Let's not confuse that. But it's also not Chol. It's not quite weekday. And so we want you to realize that there's a process where it begins, and it's not Shabbos yet, then it's Shabbos, but even more Shabbos is coming. And that's why we call it Friday night.
Erev Shabbos. Now, he talks about it earlier in the parasha. We don't have time to go back there, but he actually says that there is a little bit. There's a little bit of a mixture of chol and koy that she gets into erev, but we're not going to go there. Yes.
Can we compare when the dawn comes? Because I understand the dawn is the first light, but I name it, I yell it, run, and then comes the dawn.
Yeah, yeah.
I
think that's true. In the morning, you also have similar concepts where you have alos and you have nates and you have different times of the light coming out. But that's what we're saying is that it works that way in Kedusha also. Shabbos doesn't all come, but it's you can call it like that, like the growing light.
The Kabbalah is coming right after this.
Okay. Yeah. So he says, let me read that again. Well, Zanikras Friday Tznacht, that's why it's called Friday night. Because Friday night means I took Friday and I sanctified it and turned it into Shabbos. But really, we spent all 6 days working on ourselves. So you should know Hayom Ram, we said it by the Shia, Yom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, and tomorrow we'll say Yom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. Why are we calling it that? Because you should know every action you do during the week, every action that you do during the week, if it's a good action, it's part of the initiation of what's going to bring down Shabbos into the world. That's what we call Friday night, connecting it to Friday. Lahoros alzat, to teach us this concept, Shabbalel Shabbos, on Friday night, Olis Arusa Shalanu Mimos Achol, all our initiation from the weekday ascends by Dezen and Kabbalah Kedusha Al Yonah B'Yom HaShabbos, and that's how we receive the holiness of the day of Shabbos. Let me explain that, because that's a very important concept. What he's saying is like this. On Friday night, when you light candles, or when you say Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, or when you say Good Shabbos, right? When you accept Shabbos upon yourself, at that moment, Shabbos begins. You become a receiver, and the world, the entire universe, becomes a receiver. A receiver of Shabbos that begins to manifest into the world and continues to flow and come down into the world through Shabbos morning, different parts of davening, but that's getting more complicated. But how much Shabbos comes down for you? So what he's learning is that it's going to be different for different people. Based on all the things you did that week, starting from the end of Shabbos through the beginning of Shabbos, everything you did that week all comes together to make you into a specific kind of vessel to receive Shabbos. And if you have an exceptionally good week where you do a lot of good things, you're going to receive a greater level of Shabbos than on a different week where maybe you didn't have as much success. Because Shabbos, the whole Friday night, is all everything that we're doing, so to speak, initiating from below, sending all that up, and that brings down a Shabbos. But Shabbos itself is also receiving, just like you are receiving, meaning the day is receiving, but the day has no merit of its own to receive. The day receives based on how much you arrange for it to receive, and that's how you are actually making Shabbos when you accept Shabbos through your observance of mitzvahs throughout the week.
So, for example, technically initiate this process earlier, we want Shabbos earlier. So,
well, that's timing. That's timing. We're saying the level of Shabbos that you receive. The level of Shabbos that you receive is based on the level of the week that you have. L'chein, lel Shabbos nikras b'chinas kala. That's why Friday night is referred to as a kala. V'zeh she'omrim b'zmiras, and we say in the zmiras, in kol mekadesh shvi, he likes the darshan, the zmiras, many of the chassidim did, we say that Shabbos is kekala bein reyoseha meshubatza. That Shabbos is adorned amongst her maidens, like the bride amongst the bridesmaids, or the queen with her maidservants. She'az kashi nikras kala dahainu b'leil Shabbos, because Shabbos isn't on its own. Shabbos is not on its own. When the Shabbos queen doesn't travel on her own, a queen doesn't travel on her own like a kala doesn't travel on her own. Rather, she has her bridesmaids. He ben re'el seha, that's her bridesmaids, that's the days of the week. Shemechaberes yimei acholim, kedushas yom haShabbos, that's what we're saying in our Zemiras. We're saying, kikala ben re'el seha meshubatza, that Shabbos is like the bride amongst the bridesmaids. Is that Shabbos amongst the days of the week, because just like the bridesmaids are there to help that the bride should approach the wedding properly, the days of the week are there to make sure that the Friday night queen, that the kala receives and is properly adorned and prepared for Shabbos. Vatam shenikras as kala, shebichinas nokva. And the reason why we're using kala is because femininity is to receive. That's what the feminine is. And so all of the universe is in the process of receiving. And that's why Shabbos is referred to as the kala, ki mikabelos hakadusha kanal, v'nokvi mikabelos, that's the idea of receiving. So he adds to this a very deep idea. As if this is not deep enough, he's going to want to sell again. Before we go on, the point he's making is that as much as Shabbos is kvi v'kaimi, Shabbos is fixed and it comes on its own, it will come on its own. But how it will come, that's what's up to us. And the amount that you can receive as a human being to receive Shabbos is connected to how much the day as a moment in time can receive based on what your week looks like and your initiation and how you prepare for Shabbos. So if you run around all day Friday checking this and checking that and turning on the lights and putting up the challenge and whatever it is that you're doing on Friday, you think you're running errands. You're not running errands. You're fixing the universe, right? You're preparing the universe to receive Shabbos, and the amount of initiation and preparation, obviously we're not just talking about the practical preparation, but the spiritual preparation, but that's a part of it. Part of running around and wanting to make Shabbos nice is that spiritual preparation. So he says, Ki Yam Shabbos, Osius Boshes. It's an interesting thing that the letters of the word Shabbos are Boshes, which is shame. So why is Shabbos related to shame? And so what he's going to explain to us is that it's very much related to the previous word, when we're living in this sort of lower level of living during the week, we wonder to ourselves, like, how could I live in such a lowly world now that I'm on Shabbos and I realize how much more holy the world could be and how much more meaningful the world could be? Says Ki Shabbos Osius Boshes, it's the same letters as Boshes. Shemizbayesh Ma'od Al Maaser Shebechol, because a person on Shabbos, when you ascend, you feel some shame for the way that you've behaved during the week. Umekabel Al Atzma Ol Malchus Shemayim, and you accept upon yourself Hashem's sovereignty. That's part of accepting Shabbos, is accepting that Hashem is in charge of the world. And part of accepting Hashem being in charge of the world is to recognize that I need to do a better job of behaving like Hashem is in charge of the world. So he says, because Friday night is all about accepting and receiving. It's all about being in this feminine state where Hashem gives us and we receive. But you can receive only based on the kind of vessel that you are. And if you're a small vessel, you can only receive a small amount. If you broaden your boundaries and expand yourself, you can receive a greater amount. He says, Ki kala, because bride, the word kala, Rosh Tevus, is the first letters of the words, Ki Lashem Hamelucha. Ki Lashem Hamelucha is kala. Right? For Hashem is the king, which we say in Az Yashir every day. Ki Lashem Hamelucha, Shebeknisus Shabbos Shenikras Kala, when Shabbos comes in, Shabbos is called the Kala. Mekabel Olav Ol Malchus Shemayim, we naturally accept on ourselves the yoke of the sovereignty of heaven. Ve'osa Atzma Bechinas Nokva, and we become like this feminine aspect. Mekabel HaKedusha, and we receive the holiness, Ayidei Sarusa Delei Melasata, through our initiation from below. So, all of that, this whole idea, is within this pasuk. V'zeu sha'ama v'noyach. Noyach is Shabbos. The Hainu Shabbos Kodesh is Yom Menucha. Right? Noach means the day of rest. The only way that you can truly have the day of rest is if Noach Matzah Chen. The word Noach and the word Chen, right, there are only two people in the Torah who are referred to by anagrams of their own name. Noach Matzah Chen, an heir, the son of Yehuda, was Ra. Eine Hashem, Ayin Reish, Reish Ayin. But here he's saying, why is it that the Torah is using Noach and Chen? The answer is because the Torah is trying to tell you that Noach, if you want to truly appreciate Shabbos, it's only if you do it in reverse. Which means if you do Hey, Hey Vav, Hey Vav Hey, Hey Vav Hey Yud, which happens to be the numerical value of 58, which is Chen. So Noach Matzah Chen, she'azu b'chinas esayrus l'osata, that represents our initiation from below. Shemoy ribu Hashem kanal shegematria Chen. I want to say a word about gematria and then sum this up. Anyone who tries to take a gematria and say, look, these two things have the same numerical value, therefore I'm going to make a Torah out of it, that's doing it backwards. That's not how it works. Right? What you have to do is, he has a word here, he has a Torah here. That's true without the gematria. And then he's just showing you how the Torah alludes to it with the gematria. Right? That's important to understand it that way. So he's saying there is this idea of Shabbos, which comes on its own. And people tend to think that as a result, I just have to stop doing work before Shabbos begins, and then Shabbos comes, and that's it. And then people also will think that Shabbos is Shabbos, and that's it. What's the difference? But we know that's not the case. We know that you have to do a lot of preparation for Shabbos, and we also know that Shabbos itself changes from being v'yanuchu bo kol Yisrael to v'yanuchu bo kol Yisrael, from the feminine to the masculine. What is happening there? And what does it have to do with me? And l'cha dodi likras kala, who's the kala? We say this every week. L'cha dodi likras kala, p'nei Shabbos t'gabla. Who's the kala? Right? So the answer is that the Kala is us, but the Kala is also Shabbos. Right? The whole world is a Kala. Everything is a Kala because the whole world has turned towards Hashem as Shabbos comes in and says, give us this Kedusha. And Hashem does. Hashem gives us Shabbos Kodesh. But how much Shabbos you receive, that's v'noach matzah chen. That depends on how much you initiate from below. Your noach, which means the light that's coming down to you, has to be chen, has to be, you know, backwards, so to speak. What you initiate from below, that's how much you receive, and that's the kedusha of Shabbos that will come to you, and that's the concept that Friday starts to have a certain level of holiness, because you're already starting to bring down Shabbos. It's just Shabbos doesn't kick in. When Shabbos kicks in, when the time of Shabbos arrives, and then you're mekabel Shabbos, even then, you're still receiving. And Shabbos is still receiving. And so we're saying, L'cha dodi, go Hashem. God dodi, likras kala. And in some ways, we, davening, represent that role, and so we turn towards the Kala to greet the Kala, but it's really at HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's greeting the Kala being Shabbos Kodesh, and Shabbos Kodesh is called the Kala because it has prepared itself and is waiting to receive. And the weekdays are not just, they're also invited to the wedding. He says the weekdays, the 6 days of the week, are the bridesmaids of Shabbos, because your Shabbos looks like how much effort and Kedusha you put in all week, and you should know all week long you're really preparing for Shabbos. Even if it's not in the front of your mind, it's Hayom Yom Shabbos, Shlishi B'Shabbos, Em Revi B'Shabbos. It's always there, because what's going to come on Shabbos is what we initiate from below. So if I can connect this to what we said before, if Shabbos is this concept of living above nature, to be above Malacha, to be just Kivo Shavas Kel, Mikol Malachto. It's the name Kael, it's above, because we are supposed to be beings that live higher than our own nature. That's why we are called Yisrael, and that's why Yisrael is the negative one word in the Torah. Right? It's the word before, reading into Bereshis Bara. I understand, no one attacked me mathematically there. But it's Yisrael Bereshis, and all of the Parsha is about Adam and Cain failing to transcend their own nature. And that's part of our own failure, is we succumb to our own nature. And we have to overcome And Shabbos represents our fulfillment of that, and however much we initiate from below, that's what we receive from above. May we be zocha to understand this, even in the slightest, but to be able to fulfill this, but to live this way, a life above nature, and a life in preparation for receiving the holiness that may come.
Amen. Thank you, Rebbe.
Thank you. Recording stopped.